I'd build the altar, Lord, to send the flame. I'd be the sacrifice unto your name. Come, holy fire, consume me now. That's been our prayer. Lord, in your presence, I make this vow. Nothing but you, Lord, do I desire. Your glory only and one desire. Wonderful. Thanks, Dave. And I believe God is holding back until, like that thing David wrote this morning, Lord, I can't live another day without the fire of God. You need the fire of God to pray. You need the fire of God to see visions. You need the fire of God to recognize there's no help for us. I don't want to cry as I've done so long. Like David in Psalm 80, O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, Lord, don't stay there. Come down here. We need God here. Does it matter if it breaks your heart today? You're going to have millenniums in eternity. There'll be no sorrow there. You can't patch up your prayer life when you get to the judgment seat. You can't sacrifice when you get to the judgment seat. You can't weep when you get to the judgment seat. It's all between here and there. This period we're in now is a dressing room for eternity. That's all it is.
You see, when these songs were written, people were desperate for a move of God because society had come so bad and so far from God. People were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They were people who were far away from God. And a move of God had been a distant thing of the past. Churches had begun to talk about what God used to do. Churches had begun to talk about how God used to save back in the old days. And there was a generation that raised up and said, let me tell you something. If he's still God, he could still do it. They said there's nothing wrong with God. He still desires to pour his spirit up on hungry people. The problem is we're not hungry anymore. And a generation rose up, Steve, and said, I'm hungry for something from God. And it doesn't have to come through my church denomination in order for me to accept it. It doesn't necessarily have to come the way I want it to come. I just want it to come. Oh God, a burning, cleansing flame, send a fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host. And send the promise. our plea tonight, Jesus. God, these young people standing on this stage, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord, to make this verse apply to them, Lord. To make our weak hearts strong and brave, set afire, to live a dying world to save. Lord, set the fire. Oh, see us on your altar lay. We give our lives to you today. So proudly offering, now we pray.
Of May 1738, about a quarter to nine, John Wesley says in his diary, "My heart was strangely warm." That was the first move of God in his life. He didn't stop there. He read the Word of God. He said, "There's something more than a warm heart. I don't want a warm heart, I want a heart on fire." And so he preached the entire sanctification. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Because John Wesley came over here from England and he was thrown out of church. But the reason that he stuck with it and he was so faithful and he came over here and he brought the fire to us.
John Wesley brought such tremendous revival to the nation. And I believe God wants to restore again this powerful one-time denomination that the enemy has just strictly just put through the mill. And yet there are men of God that are still hungry, and God is wanting to touch you again. He wanted to recommission the Methodist Church with the power of God, with the fire of God, with the zeal of God that Wesley knew, that Wesley understood, and a righteousness, a message of holiness. And wants to, again, just fill you again with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness, Spirit of fire, and a Spirit of evangelism. That's what marked the Methodist Church, was evangelism, taking the gospel out into the streets, out into the highways, where nobody else would take it. And I believe God is wanting to restore that tonight. You're the remnant of that, and I believe this is going to just spread all across the nation.
I'm
condemnation now I dread. Jesus, all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Again, I didn't grow up singing these songs, and so all of you good Presbyterians there tonight are going, man, he's slaughtering that, Wesley. All you good Methodists are going, man, that's our heritage song, and I've never heard it quite done that way. Well, I never quite heard it, so I just did it my way. But you see, when I sing these songs, and you know, we're like 800 and some services going and counting and whatever. And, you know, I used to worry about people who went and traveled in ministry and they were out all the time just losing the edge and losing the conviction. But when I start singing these songs, I jump in the middle of the lyrics and I realize this is me I'm singing about. And I look around this youth choir and I see kids up here who have testified and said, we were going to commit suicide. We were already laying the plans. Kids up here whose lives were over at the age of 17, 18. Many people in this revival, I've watched too many be saved. I just can't lose my passion. I'm sorry. We've got too many people in the church now that's lost their passion. They need to get on their face before God and regain their passion. Long my imprisoned spirit laid, I was fast bound in sin and nature's night. Lord, but thine eye diffused a quickening ray.
I will never ever be the same person ever, ever, ever again. And I know now I have the best feeling ever. If I would die tonight, I know I would go to heaven.
I wrote out the perfect plan to murder both of my parents. But that same woman that I wanted to kill spent every night of her life on her knees praying for me.
Well, I be so in love with Jesus before I got saved.
There's healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. There is healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. There's healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. There is healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. So Lord, send your glory. There's deliverance in your glory. There's deliverance in your glory. There's deliverance in your glory. So Lord, send your glory. There is freedom in your glory. Freedom in your glory. There is freedom in your glory. Freedom in your glory. So Lord, send your glory. It's all in your glory. Oh, it's all in your glory. It's all in your glory. It's all in your glory. It's actually said that the glory of the Lord is His manifest presence. And in His presence, there's freedom. And there's healing tonight. There is healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. There is healing in your glory. Enter into His presence. Come on, church. There's healing in your glory. So Lord, send your glory. It's all in your glory. Oh, it's all in your glory.
I don't know how familiar you are with the revival in Argentina. There's such an outbreak of God there that there's some churches that have to have church 23 hours a day. Everybody talks about the revival in Argentina, but I'm going to tell you how it was born. It's an old man named Edward Miller. He went to Argentina in 1950. Said they were gripped with such intercession that they didn't know if they were going to live or die. But they didn't care as long as he was there. This went on day after day after day. Meals were forgotten. Sleep was just a necessity. And they were so gripped. They repented, he said, until there was nothing left to repent, and still they felt to repent. And he coined a phrase, he called it vicarious repentance, where you're not just repenting for yourself, but you literally get under the load of sin that your city is carrying, and you begin to repent for the city. That's what Jesus told the women to do on the road to Calvary. He said, weep for yourselves.
For Lord, we have turned away from you. We've failed you, Lord. We've disobeyed your word. We've disobeyed your commands. And Father, we throw ourselves on your mercy. And we say, have mercy on us, O Lord. Because we failed you in things we've done and things we've left undone, Jesus. Because we want to please you. We want you to take all of us, Lord. Have mercy on me, my unfailing love. Have mercy on me, Redeemer. Please open my eyes, my soul now set free. Lord, I surrender. Children that have been abandoned, Lord. Have mercy, Lord, on those that are fatherless. Oh, turn your eyes of favor upon them, O Lord. God, heal their broken hearts. God, restore their spirits that have been broken. Bring back, Lord, their families. Bring back their families, O Lord. O Lord, have mercy on the single moms. Have mercy, Lord. God, they're feeling helpless and alone. Be with them right now, Jesus. Oh, show your compassion, Lord. Show your compassion, Lord. Show your compassion, Lord. Show your love, Jesus. On those that are in the hospitals, Lord Jesus, dying with AIDS, we pray, Lord, that your mercy would be stretched to them, Lord. Let your hand of mercy and healing, Lord, come into their room. That those that have felt alone and abused all of their lives, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would raise them up as soldiers of yours. Oh, God. God, bring the healing. Bring the healing, Jesus. Bring the healing, Jesus. Bring the healing, Jesus. Because you're the restorer. God, you're the healer. God, you're the redeemer. You're the one who takes something that's worth nothing and breathes life into it and makes it worthwhile. Bring it, Lord. Oh, bring it, Lord.
We've been going here, and a lot of people looked on and thought, man, if we could get something like that going, wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, you know what? I don't know if it would or not. I tell you what I think would be wonderful. I think it'd be wonderful if the power of God would fall on our nation. I think it'd be wonderful if people at the 7-Eleven had to get up off the floor because they were trembling under the glory of God.
The Bible says that the glory of the Lord is going to cover the face of the earth. But it's got to start somewhere. And what we're after is revival in the streets. I don't know if that lady's here that had that picture. Are you here? Yes. Can I have that for a second?
See, they showed me this morning, and I tried to act real calm. But this picture's been bothering me all day. You can't see it, but it's a picture of kids. I don't know if they're out of this church or what church, but coming back from Brownsville. God fell in the van because they were broken. And they had such a move of the Spirit that they literally just pulled over in the parking lot of a gas station. And they're laying all over the ground. People don't dare touch it. They don't dare bother that. The gas station guy said he wasn't going to bother the big man. He didn't know any other way to refer to God. Policeman said it's all right. People that drove up to get gas get nervous. I'm telling you, there can be such a visitation until the man in the gas station says, what do I need to do? Until the policeman that drives up says, what do I need to do? Your family, your friends, your school. I don't know if you understand how passionate I am. I long for the day that some high school teenager will bow their head in the lunchroom somewhere and pray over their food and God show up so strong that the presence of God walks into that lunchroom and people are converted and convicted and fall left and right, not out of blessing but out of repentance. That's what I'm at. we've got to get to that point. We have been racing to false finish lines. It's not time to start coasting yet. There's still some distance ahead of us. Let's press in toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I don't know of anybody that had. Nobody has had what's available. Nobody has had what I think is coming. And it's time that somebody just laid down the gauntlet and said, God, I'm after you. Over the last few days, there has been a restlessness in my spirit. I mentioned to Pastor that I feel very unsettled. I feel like the ground underneath me is shifting. I feel as if something is about to change. Now the Lord knows I love change. I thrive on the unknown. I enjoy the uncertainties of life. I'm extremely uncomfortable when everything is cookie cutter predictable. When the earth begins to shift, when I hear roots being pulled up out of the ground, when I feel the wind on my face blowing in a new direction, I like that. Over the last several days, something has been stirring. I can't stop moving around. There is something on the horizon, something big. I can't touch it yet. I can't gaze upon it with my eyes, but I can feel it. It's there and it's moving closer. My spirit man is speaking loud and clear. He has overridden my carnal nature and is raising his voice. The first time I heard my spirit man was 22 years ago. He told me when I got saved that I was a child of God. My spirit bore witness with God's spirit that I was God's child. Now the Spirit of the Lord is telling this child of God that something's up. The Lord would say to everyone in this place, live unsettled. The Lord would say to everyone in this place, live unsettled. Don't sink too deep into the soil of this earth. Keep your head up and your feet moving. Stay alert. Be sober. This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words. I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Loose yourself. Loose yourself of any ties that bind. If you don't loose yourself, I'll help loose you. Prepare the way in your own heart and then help prepare the way in others. I want no obstacles. I will have no obstructions. I will return for a pilgrim people. He said to me, let the church know that the day is approaching. Warn them. Don't wine and dine them. Tell them clearly. Don't mix words. My word, my water is pure. Don't taint it. Make it clear. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. I'm going to say that again. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. Every fear known to man will be swallowed by the terror of the day ahead. Fear will overcome fear. Dread will overcome dread. The violent will be overcome by the more violent. My final work is at hand. My spirit's wooing is about to cease. No one will grieve me anymore. No one will quench my spirit anymore. No one will resist me anymore. Their days are over. Let them know my warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath. The warm days of my wooing will be exchanged for the fiery days of my vengeance. My pleading for the souls of man, the passionate cry of the
the faithful harvesters, the unselfish service of my holy servants, all their labor, all the charity, all the pain, all the suffering, it will be over. I have heard, says the Lord, the groans of nature. I have heard the midnight cries. My church has been begging my return. My bride has been longing to be with me. The plan of the ages has almost reached fruition. The tree has borne forth its fruit. The fertile soil has yielded the harvest. The planting will stop. The laborers will leave. The sickle will rust. It's almost over. I'm coming back. I will not delay my coming to you, so don't delay your coming to me. Jesus, we hear you. We hear you. When I say something right now to this group of people, everyone within the sound of my voice, if you knew what we knew about the rumblings out there, there's a rumbling, there's a rumbling across the world right now. We get the calls, we get the emails, we get the faxes of what's happening out there. It's at the infancy stage, it's at the very beginning, and you may marvel, but what, 2 years, 3 years, that's incredible, friend, in God's sight. He is beginning something right now that's going to culminate in his second coming. He's beginning something right now. He's getting his bride ready. And take a look at the church across the world. We're not anywhere close to being ready. This has got to sweep all over. It's got to sweep from coast to coast. It's got to sweep to Finland and Germany and Japan and Australia and Russia. It's got to go into South Africa, South America, into Central America. It's got to touch every continent in this world.
Show the deliverer.
And what he's saying to me, and what he's saying to you, this could go on and on, we all know that, but you need to live as if he's coming back tonight. Now, he's not coming back for a weak church. He's not coming back for a helpless church. He's not coming back for a stained, spotted, wretched church. He's not coming back for a church in adultery. He's coming back for a church that's participating. They're looking. They're anticipating his return. A bride that's looking up to heaven saying, Jesus, Maranatha, Maranatha, come back, come back. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord.
I want you. I don't want religion. I don't want another church. I don't want another congregation. I don't want another Bible. I don't want another wife. I don't want more kids. I want you, Lord. There's something in the deep part of me that's crying out.
It is about the Lord Jesus Christ.